May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. So back to our gospel for today, the account, Luke's account of the Transfiguration. Here's a verse, Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 29. While Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling, dazzling white. The Transfiguration is not just about Jesus. It's also about you. Got it? That's today's sermon. But I'll come back to that. First, let me tell you this. Probably the best bit of advice I ever got about preaching and sermons came from a lady who was in my congregation back in Copenhagen. As many of you know, before moving here in late October, in October 2017, I was in Copenhagen for nearly 3 years. And before I left, this parishioner came to me to give me some advice. And I should explain, by the way, that this particular lady, she'd been going through some difficult personal time in her life. And she was also a lady of deep, deep faith. Anyway, she came to me and she said, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what I remember. She said, you know, Darren, most of the sermons I've heard in my life, and I've heard lots of them, most of them have been about being a good person. About trying to be a better person. Most of the sermons, she said, have been exhortations to do this or do that. Or they've been exhortations to definitely do not do this and definitely do not do that. You know the sort of thing. Yeah. But, she said, those sorts of sermons were really no great help to me. To be honest. In fact, she said, they often left me feeling worse about myself. Because, she said, I would love to be a better person, a good person. Who wouldn't? I remember she said, if I had wings, Darren, I would fly. But I don't. I don't. So, she said, please, Darren, don't preach moralistic sermons. Do's and don'ts sermons. Preach transformation. Preach the good news that through prayer and stillness and silence, we can be transformed bit by bit into the people God created us to be. Preach the good news that through daily disciplines of stillness and then service, daily disciplines of contemplation and then action, through those kind of daily disciplines, we can, through the grace of God, we can allow the life of Christ to take root and grow within us. Preach transformation. Great advice, eh? And I've been thinking a lot about that advice this past week as I've studied today's gospel reading, the story of the Transfiguration of Jesus, because it seems to me that transfiguration can be one of those churchy words, you know? One of those words that sound a bit obscure and a bit irrelevant to us, transfiguration. When was the last time you used the word transfiguration in an ordinary, everyday conversation? Not lately, I would guess. But when you get right down to it, the word transfiguration simply means, in essence, transformation. It means change. I looked it up. The Oxford English Dictionary tells us the word transfiguration comes from the Latin word transfiguratio, which means to change shape, to change appearance. So in spiritual terms, I think to be transfigured means that a person's outward appearance changes so that what's seen on the outside reflects the reality of who the person really is on the inside. That's how it was for Jesus, after all. At his transfiguration, the deep truth about who he is was revealed in his changed appearance. It's all there. We're told, verse 30, he is the fulfillment of the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. Verse 31, he's the one who will go to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, he'll make the ultimate sacrifice. He will give his life away in love for us. And verse 35, he is God's son, the chosen one. In short, he is the light of the world. He is the one we have been waiting for. And at his transfiguration, all of that deep truth about his identity, about who he truly is, shone out from him and was clear for those around about to see. And it can be the same for us. After all, don't forget, at our baptism, we are made children of God by adoption. And through the power of his Spirit within us, we too can reflect something of the dazzling beauty and holiness of Christ. And in fact, in sharing in the Holy Communion, we are incorporated in corp, body, incorporated into the body of Christ. We can embody his life, his love in the world. The transfiguration's not just about Jesus, it's about you, your change, your transformation, your potential as a child of God. But maybe, like my Copenhagen parishioner, you're still wondering, how? How can I be changed? How can I be transformed? How can I be transfigured? Well, let me spell it out for you. Let me spell it out for you. It's all there in today's gospel reading. It all begins where the gospel began. It begins in silence, stillness, and prayer. Jesus, we are told, went up the mountain to pray. He took Peter, James, and John, and off they went, up the mountain. Away from the crowds, away from the noise, away from the daily demands of life, up a mountain, a place apart, a place where there is no Wi-Fi. And it was there, in that place, where there was time and space and stillness so that he could sink down into the depth and mystery and meaning which is within, beneath, and beyond all things. It was there that who he really is was revealed. So transfiguration, your transformation, begins on the mountaintop, begins in silence, stillness, and prayer. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there, because then we had the second part of today's gospel, remember? The second part, the very next day, we're told, when he come back down from the mountain, Jesus is straight back into the thick of it, isn't he? There's a huge crowd, we're told, waiting for him, a crowd in need of his help. In particular, there's a man whose only child is in deep distress and grave danger. In other words, you can't stay up in the mountain all the time, because back down in the valley, there's a whole world of need. There's hurts to be healed, evil to be faced down, relationships to be restored. So transfiguration, transformation begins on the mountain in stillness and silence, but then it's lived out in the valley through action in the world, in the daily round of life. The two go together, the mountain and the valley, the stillness and then the service. Now perhaps one of the best summaries of all this I've ever heard comes from the Irish theologian, excuse my bias, the Irish theologian Michael Paul Gallagher. Michael Paul says this, This, he says, is the essence of the Christian spiritual life. Wait for it. It's all about relaxing. Good news, eh? It's about relaxing into the reality of being loved by God in order to rise into the realism of loving others. Relaxing into the reality of being loved by God in order to rise into the realism of loving others. Beautiful, eh? How about that for a Lenten manifesto? How about that for a Lenten motto? How about those as our watchwords for these next 40 days? Not another list of do's and don'ts, but just an invitation, a gracious invitation to relax, to take time to sink into the reality of God's great love for us so that we can then rise into the reality of loving others. So let me say it just one more time. The Transfiguration is not just about Jesus. It's also about you. You too are to be transformed. You too, through prayer, stillness and silence, through relaxing into the love of God, you can be transformed into the person you were created to be. And then you too, through rising into the realism of loving others, through action, service, sacrifice, you too can allow the life of Christ to grow within you. And finally, in the Holy Communion, through the grace of the Holy Communion, you too are incorporated. You too can embody Christ's love and life and compassion in the world. So, in today's Holy Communion, may we become what we receive. Amen.